When you put all these names together, Ken Lay, Richard Grasso, Elliot Spitzer, Fannie Mae, Kmart, Google, Merck, Pfizer, OPEC, Oracle, Martha Stewart, Steve Jobs, and Donald Trump, you may come to some understanding of the year in business. We're going to drop our own name now, and that's Jonah Serra, our friend from the business world and the editorial director of Fortune magazine. Hi, Joe, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Jackie.
Well, you know, the financial headlines do kind of blur from this last year, and lots of them read like chapters of good crime novels, don't you think?
That certainly was one of the highlights or lowlights of the year, depending on how you look at it. I would single out three names here. One, Ken Lay finally got indicted after much speculation over the last year and a half to 2 years as to whether that would ever finally happen. It happened. Mm-hmm. Martha Stewart went to jail after being convicted, and she's generated a lot of sympathy for the way she's handled the whole affair, and she may wind up being one of the big winners of next year. Mm-hmm. And the third name, just very quickly, on the crime front is Elliot Spitzer, who brought a lot of prosecutions. This year he went after the mutual fund industry and the insurance industry, and then most recently has announced what everybody long suspected, that he's running for the governor of New York. And amazingly, he kind of said in the process, my work here is finished. In effect, saying that he's not going to go after Wall Street anymore, and he's going to let the regulators start regulating.
Now, board members ousted Fannie Mae Chairman Franklin Raines last week after the Security and Exchange Commission found up to $9 billion of major accounting errors. Fannie Mae has long been a Washington power, a real darling, many would say. Why has it gotten in so much trouble, Joe, and what does it all mean?
The accounting errors are real, and one shouldn't blip-plast them. $9 billion is $9 billion. What's really happening here, however, is a struggle between Fannie Mae and the Bush administration, which has decided to single out the company and its sister company, Freddie Mac, which have a kind of privileged status in the markets, which is that they're quasi-private, quasi-public, and there has been an implicit notion in the marketplace that the government would bail them out if they ever got into trouble. What these companies do is they buy mortgages from banks and, in theory at least, help people buy homes. You know, what's happened here is that the Bush administration has decided to tell the world there's no implicit guarantee, and a lot of the pressure that's been put on Fannie this year has been a result of that struggle.
Joe, talk to me about hedge funds in 2004 and maybe begin by reminding us how a hedge fund is supposed to work.
Well, a hedge fund is a funny word because all it really means is a private pool of capital. It's not available to you and I. It's really available to wealthy people. But what's happened this year is that hedge funds have simply exploded. There are 7,000 of them now. They hold $1 trillion. They've become major forces in the market. Large institutions like pension funds are starting to invest in them. And some of the biggest deals of the year have been generated by hedge funds. And I'll give you the classic example is the Kmart-Sears merger, which was orchestrated by Eddie Lampert, who runs a hedge fund, one of the largest in the world. He owned a controlling stake of Kmart, and he also controlled a large stake of Sears, and he concluded that the companies were better together than apart, and nobody was about to stop him since he owned a big chunk of both of them.
Now, Google went public this year, and it did a lot better than Wall Street had expected it would do. The technology bubble might have burst, but there's obviously still confidence in investing in the Internet.
Well, there are two things about the Google IPO worth noting. The first is Wall Street was actually rooting it for it to fail because the way Google did its IPO, which was through an auction online instead of using the big Wall Street boys who've had a monopoly on the IPO business forever, really showed that there was a different way to go public than the traditional way. And it allowed small investors to get in the deal. It was a very egalitarian IPO. In terms of the technology, what's actually happening is that you're starting to see this big division between the technology haves and the technology have-nots. Google clearly was a technology have. What you're also seeing, Jackie, which is also part of this same thing, is the Oracle-PeopleSoft merger. And what that signals is that technology is about to become just another business like any other business, and they've run out of ways to grow. Companies aren't buying their products. And so technology mergers, which were once pretty much unheard of, I believe are going to become fairly common. And the Oracle-PeopleSoft merger is a precursor of that.
Joe, perhaps a story that touches more people than anything we've been talking about is what's going on in the pharmaceutical industry this year and the stumble in 2004 between Vioxx and Celebrex.
The larger issue is that big pharma, as they call it, the large pharma companies such as Merck, Pfizer, Novartis, Bristol-Myers, etc., they used to be growth companies. They used to come out with dazzling new medicines one after another. They'd be blockbusters. And those pipelines are pretty much running dry. And some would say that one of the reasons, for instance, Vioxx even went on the market was because Merck desperately needed a new blockbuster, and there was Vioxx. So I think what this portends down the line is that the pharmaceutical industry is about to face a really hard time.
Joe, one thing that really took many people by surprise and someone aback was the sale of IBM's personal computer division to a Chinese company.
That is a pretty astounding story, Jackie. I mean, IBM basically created the PC market in the early 80s, but they ultimately simply couldn't compete with the low-cost, no-frills technique that Dell Computer has invented and perfected, really. And so personal computers have become, as they say in the business, commoditized. There's no value added. There's no way to really make money on them. And, you know, the Chinese have a growing market. They have a cheap labor market. And I think they thought they could make money on it in a way that IBM couldn't.
So for big picture people like you and your good friend Warren Buffett, how would you characterize the economy in 2004?
Well, it was pretty much a sluggish economy. The two things that took place this year that were really quite noticeable in a macro sense, as we say, is the rise of the price of oil, reminding people once again that oil is a commodity. It's not always low, that when supply and demand are out of whack, oil prices can go up, and they can go up quite drastically. $50 a barrel for oil and well over $2 at the pump, I mean, that was painful. Similarly, the decline of the dollar, which is not really felt here domestically, but is a potential troublesome signal down the line vis-a-vis how the international community views the American economy and the dollar. I would like to point out one other thing. Most presidential elections really do ultimately revolve around pocketbook issues, i.e., it's a reflection on the state of the economy. To a large degree, that was not true this year.
Do you think there should be a business person of the year, or does Donald Trump have that for life?
Well, he certainly would like to have that for life. It's amusing to me that as his celebrity grows larger, he has once again put his casinos into bankruptcy. For most people, that would be an embarrassing event, but of course, Trump is not embarrassable. However, I would nominate as business person of the year Steve Jobs. When you think about where Apple was 4 or 5 years ago, it was an increasingly marginalized computer company. Now they have the coolest, sleekest, most elegant product on the market that everybody wanted for Christmas, the iPod. The iPod has completely captured the online music market, at least the legal portion of it. Record companies love it. Consumers love it. Apple stock is up, and the company is doing really well. And I say hats off to Steve Jobs, who came back to the company that he founded and has really given it a new life.
Business commentator Joe Nocera is editorial director of Fortune magazine, and he spoke with us from WFCR in Amherst, Massachusetts. Thanks again, Joe.
Thank you, Jackie.